We now focus on the Hamas-Israel swap deal. We're joined by Akram Asattari, journalist based in Gaza. Akram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good early evening to you and all listeners from South Africa.
Shukran for joining us. We appreciate your time. What is the latest with regards to the swap deal between Hamas and Israel?
Well, as a matter of fact, Egyptian intelligence services have been brokering and mediating between Hamas from one side and the Israeli occupation from the other side to exchange four Israeli soldiers that were held captive, according to Israel, by Hamas during the 2014 war. The latest about that topic is that Hamas asked the release of around 52 Palestinian prisoners, including mostly women, before Hamas releases any information to the Israeli occupation. The Israeli occupation asked for what they called indication of life for the four captive soldiers, while Hamas said they will release only a videotape of two Israeli captive soldiers, I think two civilians that were captured sometime after 2014, and then the Israeli occupation refused to release any of Hamas prisoners. In the meantime, Egypt is intensively engaging in talks with Hamas and talks with the Israeli occupation side, trying to expedite a swap deal. But Hamas made it very clear today, yesterday, and the days before that they're not going to release any video. They are not going to release the soldiers unless Israeli occupation paid the needed invoice, paid the needed amount. Initial amount of releasing around 58 people who were 58 prisoners who were who have been arrested by the Israeli occupation for more than 30 years, 20 years. And then after that, they would start what they call the bulk of the deal by getting Israeli occupation release hundreds and maybe thousands of Palestinian prisoners, given that the number of Palestinian prisoners in the Israeli prisons in the meantime is around 4,000 Palestinians. Some of them served more than 35 years in the Israeli prisons.
Yes, so you've given us an overview of what the current situation is. We also understand that winter is coming. How will that affect the already tough conditions in Gaza?
Well, as a matter of fact, during this winter in particular is linked to the most recent escalation in Gaza back in May. Around 17,000 to 24,000 residential units were affected. And with the very slow reconstruction and rebuilding in process, now the winter is going to become harsher for the people in Gaza. In the peak of hostilities, around 170,000 people moved from their homes. Most of them came back to their homes, and some of them rebuilt some of the minor, retrieved some of the minor damages that took place to their homes. But they're still facing a great challenge now with the rain, with the cold, with the cracks in their halls, with the destroyed walls of their houses, with no ceilings or roofs. They are facing a compound issue and a compound suffering and waiting for this issue of the rebuilding to start. After May escalation, Israel did not allow the flow of funds to the Gaza Strip to start the reconstruction process. Hamas has been also vowing a response if those reconstruction materials were not allowed to Gaza. Some of the very needed funds for thousands of Palestinian families that were received thanks to a donation from Qatar were not allowed to Gaza. Now they're resuming them just today. So in summary, people of Gaza are living compound and complex challenges because of the winter, because of the occupation, because of the continuous blockade, and because of the very slow rebuilding process.
Yes. There's also a financial bottleneck that Palestinian Authority is suffering now. Tell us more about that.
Well, the Palestinian Authority has been facing a technical issue with the Israeli side. The Israeli side decided to cut the fees and the wages that are going for the families of what Palestinians call martyrs and prisoners and injured people. The Israeli occupation is deducting around 37 million shekels, which is around 10 to 12 million US dollars from the general budget of the authority. And there is a financial system that was agreed upon, a clearance system that was agreed between the Palestinian Authority and the Israeli occupation in Paris in 1999. They call it Midnight Agreement, which is all about financial settlements between the Israeli occupation and the Palestinian Authority. According to that agreement, Israeli occupation is supposed to provide the Palestinian Authority with 10% of the overall revenues of all taxes imposed on the crossings from Gaza and out of Gaza, from West Bank and out of West Bank, because of the jurisdiction of the authority over those lands. For the past 2 or 3 years, the Israeli occupation was not giving the Palestinian Authority any funds whatsoever. As a result of that, there is an accumulated debt, and they are now struggling to secure the payroll for this month. Just an hour ago, they said they would be able to pay 75% of the payroll for all this, the PA public servants, which means 75% of every single person, monthly salary, which is going to get, I think, is going to aggravate, and they're going to be like, by the time they will not be able to fulfill the basic need of paying the payroll, and they will be facing, among other problems, also more financial problems paying some of the basic needs of the Palestinian Authority and the government work. And they are also suffering politically, because there are no negotiations between them and the Israelis. There is only security liaison, security coordination, and there is no political recognition of the rule. And you add to that the financial bottleneck they are facing, which is also indicative of the weak position of the Palestinian Authority when it comes to politics, when it comes to finance, and when it comes to the local Palestinian arena.
Yes, an unfortunate situation. Talking about the struggles that the Palestinians are experiencing, we also understand that the United Nations Relief and Workers Agency is also struggling, and that is in particular in Gaza. What is the issues that they are facing?
Well, the head of the director of the UNRWA operations met with around 73 dignitaries from the Gaza Strip, parents, councils, staff union council, also some of civil society organizations and representatives from the whole community. And in that meeting, he confessed to them that the UNRWA is facing a greater bottleneck because of the funding issues that the UNRWA is facing. In his statement, he said that the number of Palestinian refugees is increasing. The needs are also exponentially increasing, be it in the education, be it in the health, be it in the infrastructure, be it in the camp management, because around 5.7 million Palestinians are living in refugee camps, not only in Gaza. In Gaza, we have around 1.2 million. In the West Bank, you have around 2.4 million. In the Jordan, you have around 800,000. In Syria, you have around 300,000. In Syria and in Lebanon and in Gaza, in Jerusalem also, you have refugee camps, Jerusalem al-Quds. So they are facing increasing need of the population. And the pledges provided by the donor countries can no longer meet that need. So he has been looking into ways to make sure that the UNRWA try to secure funds for the sake of supporting the people. The union staff in the UNRWA is not so happy about that, because the UNRWA staff have not received their monthly payment for November, while they were supposed to get that salary in the around 27th, 28th of each month. So now they're also threatening they would start what they call work dispute, and they would run strikes all over the place to make sure that they can compel the UNRWA to try and put harder effort to resolve the issue. And this issue of the UNRWA as well has some political roots, because you understand when the UNRWA was established, it was established to address this issue of the influx of Palestinian refugees into diaspora and also inside from one place in Palestine to another place, which is Gaza and then the West Bank from Palestine occupied 48. And the Palestinians made it very clear, including the people who were present in that meeting. They said occupation is the root cause of this problem of refugees. And as long as the occupation continues, Israel must be held accountable as an occupying power. And Israel should also make sure that the Palestinian population under occupation enjoy their very basic rights, including and most prominently, the right to decent food, the right of travel, the right of living in peace, and all of those things, and the right of accessing, having access to very basic basic services, and also the right to protection. So it looks like now the occupation is making it even worse for the Palestinians, and it looks like the donor countries are not fulfilling the need of the refugee population. While the refugee population are living in confined area that prevent them from realizing their potential, from engaging in development activities, from developing their business, you have around 10,000 graduates every year. Most of them are coming from refugee families, so they need to access decent job opportunities. They need to access decent development opportunities, and all of that seems to be non-existent under continuing occupation. So the UNRWA is also facing an issue now, and they are hoping, they said, according to the statements that were made by the director of the UNRWA Affairs, UNRWA Operation, he said that they are hopeful that by December, some of that burden would be eased or relieved, and they would be able to provide part of the funds to the Palestinians who are now waiting while being deprived from accessing those funds.
Yes, a rather complex situation, undoubtedly. We appreciate your time, Jazakumullah khair, for updating our listeners. We appreciate all the various aspects that you've updated us on. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Barakallahu feekum wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.